We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
NFL Sunday on EEI is presented by
Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings. Kaplansky.com.
Co-sponsored by the New England Recovery Center. Leave the path of addiction and get on the road to recovery. Visit NewEnglandRecoveryCenter.org for more information.
Northeast Electrical, where pros need pros.
And Zooty, build any app your company needs in a week. Visit Zooty.com for details.
This hour of NFL Sunday is brought to you by Encore Boston Harbor.
This is NFL Sunday with Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins as the guys get you ready for Patriots and Texans. Now broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, here's Rich Keefe with Super Bowl champions Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Week 11's edition of NFL Sunday. Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins here with you until 1 o'clock. That's when the Patriots kick things off with the Houston Texans. You can listen to us anywhere on WEEI.com or the radio.com app. Fourier, Wiggy, how are you guys?
Good.
Yo, what is up?
Oh, we got Wiggy. All right, Wiggy. Wiggy. I wasn't sure if you were going to make it.
No, why would I make it?
I thought you had technical difficulties. I thought you couldn't
we just had to get things figured out. That's why we have a great producer in John
That's
Anderson.
True. That's true.
He's got to take care of that stuff.
And a great evaluator of running backs, if I might add. Definitely
yes, he is.
One of the best in the
He's
business.
He's back this week, Christian.
He's excited.
Top of the depth chart.
This weekend.
Top
is.
Three running back this weekend. We'll get into Sony Michel as he could return. Stephon Gilmore could return. The Patriots could get to 500. And I know it's NFL Sunday. I know it is all football all the time. I do want to start, if you guys will indulge me, with a little bit of the Celtics stuff that came out yesterday. I think that was the biggest sports story of the weekend. And that would be Gordon Hayward getting $120 million Jordan and the Charlotte Hornets. Oh. And no sign and trade, although I guess Adam Himmelsbach is saying that maybe that is not done yet. But it appears as though there may not be a sign and trade. And the Celtics are left just watching Hayward go for nothing. Well, Wiggy, I know you've been down on Ainge
Daddy?
And Stevens recently, and holy smokes, you have every reason to be right now.
I mean, look, it's perfect. You let Gordon Hayward get away for basically nothing. You haven't replaced them with anything. I mean, we think about free agency and all the teams that you're starting to see some type of movement. Now, granted, it's not big-name movement, but it's still movement. And what have the Celtics really done besides Tristan Thompson?
Couple of old
Hey, Kardashian is coming to town again.
Chloe's back. You got
Chloe.
Are they
back together? Okay, well, there you go. You got a Kardashian. Can she
something?
Can she shoot the long ball?
Because he can.
Depending on how you define long ball. How do you define it?
Come on.
Is that like an urban dictionary version of something?
That would be probably about 45% from behind 3-point.
Okay.
But then, Rich, you know, I mean, it looks like Danny dropped the ball on this
Awful.
One.
Awful. If any of the Pacers reports were true, and Gary Washburn and others said that they were trying to work out a deal, and then Danny was trying to get more out of the deal, and that is an absolute failure. If you could have gotten Miles Turner, Doug McDermott in a pick, or whatever the different rumors were for Hayward, and then you still could have signed some of these other guys. They ended up with Tristan Thompson and Jeff Teague. All right, fine. You know, Thompson can rebound. Teague's a backup point guard, and you know he's a veteran guy off the bench. Okay, fine. But to get nothing for Gordon Hayward after you got nothing for Al Horford and nothing for Kyrie Irving?
You guys tell me how you feel about this, or like if you think this, if I'm onto something with this. I do feel like Danny Ainge has this, I've been so successful fleecing other teams and making, like we're talking like, you know, Garnett type of stuff, like way back in the day, you know, getting before they got Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier, they had all these great draft picks. They did an excellent job acquiring draft picks, like draft equity, did an unbelievable job as far as rebuilding a team. Okay, great. I do feel like there's this not on my watch. Like, I can't let it be known that I took the worst part of the deal. Like, when it comes to winners and losers, I don't want anyone to sit there and go, well, you know, the Celtics were losers on this one. You know what I mean? So instead of, like, doing that, He just doesn't do anything. Like, he refuses to make a, I'm just going to call it for lack of a better term, a bad deal, even though that was his only alternative. So
yeah, but
instead
if
of getting Christian, something, there's nothing.
Right. Christian, but if you don't
I mean, I don't
do
know.
Anything,
first of all, do you agree? Is that something you agree with? You guys see it the same way?
Well, I
onto something.
Here's why I don't see it that way, because if you do nothing, aren't you still losing? Right? If you lose a player and you do nothing to replace that player, you're still losing, right? So at the
yeah,
end
but
of
he can explain that part away, Wiggy. He
could
say,
how can he explain
we
that
tried to do something. We tried to do something. That's what I always
right.
hear.
You could always do that, and he could say, well,
it was
know,
their
Michael
fault.
Jordan, $120 million. Like, how do you compete with that? And technically, it's a player option. So Hayward had more power than even the Celtics
right.
did, because he would have to agree to some sort of deal where he was going to go. I do agree with you on the winning trade thing, and I think because he has won so many lopsided trades, and you look at when he acquired Kevin Garnett and got rid of Kevin Garnett, won both of those. When he acquired Isaiah Thomas and got rid of Isaiah Thomas, he won both of those. He's won most of the trades that he's done. I also, and I don't want to give him an excuse because I think it was a bad weekend for him, but I wonder if other owners or other GMs are a little hesitant to make deals with him because of that too.
I think like that's part of it. I think that's part of it also. I think that the windfall that existed years ago when he did acquire all those picks, I think there was some jealousy, some animosity, yeah. and some anger associated. So now I think GMs are like, no, you're not going to get me on this one. And they just, and it's almost like they make it, they almost cut off their nose despite their face in a way. You know, like, I'm not, you know what, screw Danny Ainge. I'm not, this is just a theory. I feel like there's some truth to it just based on the way things have gone. And the answers to the questions, it's always a, there's never any, it's always monotone. It's always, well, you know, hey, thanks for the question, Gary Washburn.
Right.
You know, well, we tried to do something, but it was just, you know, we couldn't get it done. What does that mean?
What does
that mean?
See, I just want to know, where do they go from here? Because you got worse as a team. You didn't get better.
Yeah.
When you look at it, that's where you are. You didn't get better as a basketball team. You got worse.
No.
And now where do you go from here?
Well, unfortunately,
you tell me, where does he go?
I think the other teams in the East got better, too.
I think
Milwaukee got a lot better. Now, you can say they gave up a ton for it. Okay, whatever, but they're better right now. Brooklyn's going to be better just because they're getting their two guys. Well, at least let's assume they're healthy. They're going to be better. Miami looks like they're adding pieces there, too, and they're already better than you. They proved that last year. So, I don't know. I mean, I think
I
you
can
just
tell
have
you
to
what,
hope that Tatum and Brown get good. Right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Keith.
Yep.
You just said it. Like, you're hoping, praying that those two players, and I would throw in a healthy Kemba Walker.
Sure.
You hope that the leap that those guys take is so significant that you're able to overcome any lack of signing or the loss of Gordon Hayward, because they make up the difference. They're so good. Like, you're so good, both of them all-stars, and Kemba is healthy. The other pieces, they become significant role players.
Yeah.
See, I just think that when you look at those, the only one that really has a extreme upside is Tatum, right? I think Tatum, Salem, you know, we know it's going to continue to grow. I think Jaylen Brown is a good player, but we kind of know what he is as a player. And Kemba Walker, we really know what he is as a player, and we don't know what his health situations are. When he's healthy, we kind of know what he is. And I don't think that's enough to get, you know, if everybody's healthy and everybody's good to go, I don't think that's enough for you to get to the NBA Finals.
But don't you think, Wiggy, if Tatum is, he already was all NBA, so let's assume he's an all NBA player again. Kemba's already been an all-star, and if Jaylen Brown becomes an all-star, if you have three all-stars from the Eastern Conference, you don't think you can compete with that?
I think when you look at, I think when you look at the way those all-stars are built, and you try to say, is this team a championship caliber team? I just don't think that they are. I think that they're going to be one of them teams that's in the mix to be right there, whether they're a 2 seed or a 3 seed. But I just feel like when it comes down to it, we know what the ceiling is of Jaylen Brown, and we kind of know what Kemba Walker is. And so I don't think that Jason Tatum by himself is enough. And that's what I think you have. I think you have one fringe superstar player that has to prove that he can carry the team consistently. Now, he's shown that at times, but he's still been a little bit inconsistent.
Right.
But I just don't think that's enough, Rich. I mean, to win a title?
Well, no. I mean, I think it's obviously you're not the favorite. You're not the favorite in the East, whereas last year I thought you had a golden opportunity to get to the finals, and they didn't do it. I think you just have to hope that these guys do continue to get better. And maybe Jalen Brown's better than you think he is. Like maybe he becomes a top 20 player, and maybe that's high. I don't know, but maybe he gets into that. Also, the Eastern Conference isn't exactly as good as Milwaukee is. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee's never done it. Giannis has never gotten to the finals before, you know. And so each team, and the Celtics are included in this, each team is a little bit flawed. There's no automatic team like when LeBron was on the Heat, or when LeBron was playing with Kyrie and Kevin Love, or like the Golden State Warriors in the West. I don't think there's a team that is the obvious pencil them into the finals, and that's why they have a chance, but unfortunately they haven't really helped themselves this week.
Yeah, but when you think about, if we're all just going to just think about the end goal, which is to win a championship, to win an NBA Finals, and you look at the teams that have won it in the past, you know, you go from Cleveland when LeBron was there, the Lakers, you go to Golden State, all the years that they've won it. When you just eye test those teams, look at their players, and you go, wow, that's what it's going to take? Oh, man, we don't got it. And that's to me, that's all you have to do. We don't got it.
Right.
We're good, but we're not great. You know, we're not like significantly, you know, just talented where we can go in there in a 7-game series. And that's, I mean, if you're good, if you're just happy being competitive, then great. I think you're the perfect team. You'll always be competitive. You'll be in games. Yeah. You may even go, you know, 4 out of 5 years to the conference finals. But all right, then who are you then?
You're like
the Buffalo Bills, who just kept going to the Super Bowl and never won it.
Right, you're a competitive team, because in order to win in the NBA nowadays, and I don't know if you feel this way, Rich, but I feel like if you look at, and Christian just kind of rattled off the past couple of champions, you need 2 top 10 players on your team. And right now, you have one that's on the fringe in Tatum.
Right.
And you'll be a competitive team. You'll be a team that competes. But you'll never be able to get over that hump, because you just don't have that firepower. And you look at all the teams that have won championships, they got that firepower. And
well, they,
Brooklyn,
they do. And it's one of those things where when you really look at it, it's maybe one of the hardest sports to win the title. Like if you're just looking at the 30 teams that are there, but it's the easiest sport to win multiple titles because of how many, like how important the top guys are. Like if you go back to the 90s, you basically need – if you had Jordan, Duncan, Shaq, Kobe, LeBron, Durant, Curry, good chance you were going to win multiple titles. And that's 30 years of basketball, and that is like I'm talking about 7 guys basically controlled all of the titles.
Yeah. So with that in mind, you can just tell. So I think when I look at it long term, like okay, so I feel like you're like, okay, so does Tatum has the opportunity to sign a max deal, right? Doesn't he have the opportunity to do that this year?
Yeah.
Like that was the case. Okay.
Yep.
So, because my thing is he one of those guys that says, come to my neighborhood and let's play ball? Or he recognizes that his neighborhood sucks and the only way for him to do it is to go to somebody else's, right? I mean, because is Jason Tatum the destination, or is he the piece that's at it?
See,
there's something to that.
No, there is, but I think he is, if you follow some of the other guys in the league, I think he would be way too young to leave right now. I think he's, what is he, 22? So I think he signs one more deal. All those guys signed one more deal. Like Anthony Davis signed one more deal. I think Kevin Love, even when he was there, he signed one more deal. All these guys sign an extra deal, and then if they haven't won by that point, they're like, all right, let's go team up. And maybe, and you know, if you're a Celtics fan, hopefully it's Tatum has a buddy. Maybe he's friends with like Donovan Mitchell or something, and you bring him here. Rather than him go somewhere else. But I would be shocked if he didn't sign another deal and play here for another, whatever it is, 4 or 5 years.
Right, but I think, Christian, you're right. I think it's whether or not he gets to the point where he goes, all right, you come and play in my backyard and we'll put this team together, or let me see who my boy is and what team he's on. Like we know, for example, right, we know that him and Joel Embiid are good friends and they work out together and all that kind of stuff, right? So does he say to Joel Embiid one day, hey, why don't you come play with me in Boston? Or does Joel Embiid say, hey, come to Philly and play with me? I think that's the biggest thing. You start to see a lot of these guys linking up. Like James Harden says, I want to go play in Brooklyn.
Right.
And we know that can happen.
That's all you need to do.
We've seen it with Paul George, who just signed the contract with Oklahoma City.
Right.
And then a year later, Kawhi Leonard goes, bruh, come out to L.A. and play with me. And
then
he forces a trade out of there and he goes to L.A. So that I think that's going to be the biggest question is how much right now, and I don't think Rich, I think you're right. He doesn't have like that leverage or juice yet.
I don't think yet.
He's still such a young player, but when he gets there, does he end up linking up with somebody else, or does that person?
But I think there's also a part of it where like he just got his first taste at all NBA this year, but I think he wants to be the man a little bit longer before he's like the co-man or one of three guys. Like, I think he wants to, you know, maybe lead the league in scoring or be first-team All-NBA or something like that.
Well, that's that young mentality.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they all did. I mean, Pierce, Garnett, and Allen did it even later than, like, LeBron, Wade, and Bosch did. But it was the same idea. You know, you lead your team for a while, and you're like, all right, this is great. Like, I got all the money. I got all the points. I got all this. But I'd like to win, and it's not going to happen by myself. But hopefully we're a ways away from that with Tatum. Like, I think you know, maybe it would be here. Maybe he would be the guy. Maybe he'd be the alpha, and he'd say, this is where we want to play.
Yeah, you know, the thing that also kind of just cracks me up is you mentioned Kevin Love, and I remember Kevin Love. I want to say it was Kevin Love where we first started hearing about fireworks.
Yes.
But like, was it before Kevin Durant, or when Kevin Durant became
back?
Yeah,
it was way before Durant. It was Kevin Love. Right? He actually, I think he
was Kevin Love.
Didn't he do a Fenway tour?
Yeah, and Rajon Rondo was there. Yeah. Okay, yeah. He brought his glove and all this. I remember like it was yesterday. I remember going, wow, fireworks.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember like, okay, this is great. Since then, there have been no fireworks. If you want to use Average Al as fireworks, fine. If you want to use 1 year of Kyrie Irving, okay, that seemed like a spark. If you want to use Gordon Hayward, I'll say, wow, at that point in time, it looked like you had put together a badass team, right? And that lasted a matter of one game. And then, Hayward goes out, and then sure enough, everyone realizes what a dope and how much Kyrie Irving has no intentions of ever saying, doing anything that he says. Right. And I think by that point in time, it was like, now what?
Okay. Yeah.
Just a matter of time before it imploded. Horford leaves. He gets a bunch of money. I mean, I just feel like you're going to be stuck in the mud. Now, and mud is, I don't mean to be, you know, dismissive of the fact that they do have talent, but if championships are the name of the game, that's just not who you are.
Right. You'll be competitive. You'll be competitive.
You will be.
That's what you are, but nobody wants a competitive team around here. You want a championship team. I mean, so what? You're competitive. Big deal. What's that
and
mean?
Is that why the Celtics fans never really get mad? I feel like they never get angry. I think the passion that exists with even the Red Sox, I think, is greater than it is with the Celtics. There's just almost like, you know, hey, you know, we give in, you know.
No, they're living off, Christian, what they're doing is living off their past. As somebody who's been a Celtics fan his whole life knows that you live off your past, right? So they're living off the KG era. They're living off the Bird, you know, Mikhail Parrish.
Or was it because until this year, they never were the best team? Like, in the series that they lost, they were supposed to lose. Like, when they lost to LeBron, it's like, all right, you lost to LeBron.
Yeah, right? I thought like they were viewed as probably the best team is when the first year they got Kyrie. When they got Kyrie and that picture that you put up, Rich, that was like, all right, here's a legit team. Gordon Hayward got hurt in game one, but then they rattled off, what, 18 wins? So then you were like, okay, this team is legit. Like they're good. And then Kyrie ends up getting hurt for that playoff
run. Well, that's what I'm saying. So when you remove Kyrie from it, then it's like, oh, okay. Like what they made it probably as far. Now, they had a 3-2 series lead, and maybe you can say, oh, they should have held on to it. But they had no Kyrie. They had no Gordon Hayward. And it was super young Tatum and Brown and Rozier. And they made it to a Game 7 of the conference finals.
And then lost
to the best player in the world. Like, I don't think people were going to freak out about that.
No, I don't think anybody were freaking out about it. But I think what happened is that gave them a false sense of hopes. Like, oh, okay. We don't need Kyrie. We don't need Gordon Hayward. We got these young guys. We could do it the next year. And then we saw things unravel because the next year you had egos come playing to it. Terry Rozier's ego got into it. Tatum was becoming
Marcus
more of
Morris.
A
– Morris. That was a horrible group.
Right. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown.
That didn't work at all. Yeah.
Right. And then you bring back Gordon Hayward, and there was all these issues. So then that blows up in your face. And then the following year you get rid of Kyrie and you bring in Kemba. You think things are going to be different. And then that kind of – you're playing okay, and then you go to the bubble, and that whole thing happens. And now it's almost like you're now where are you? You're back to square one, and we don't really know. We're like, all right, we got a good team, but that's really it.
Wiggy, you just said something that since we are doing a pregame football show, should strike fear in the hearts of fans, or any really or any real fan, is that you just mentioned that the reason the Celtics fans are the way they are is because they're living off the past. Is this where the Patriots are headed? Could this possibly be the mentality of New England Patriot fans?
It could be a little bit.
Years and years of mediocrity or just almost, and hey, I tried to do something, no fireworks, and sure enough, here we are, excusing every bad situation
away.
But I think
the differences with the Patriots is Belichick and the way he is and his personality.
He won't be here forever. Neither was Red.
Right, right. No, I understand that, but I don't think Bill's going anywhere for the next 4 or 5 years, right? So I think he ultimately gets the team back to where they're more than a competitive team, right? They're a legit championship competitor. And if you get
that's where these guys are.
Do you believe that though?
Well, Wiggy, you can make the same analogy for the Celtics or in the NBA as you can for the Patriots. If you don't have a quarterback, then you don't have a shot. You could 1 year it. You could Jacksonville it. You could LA Ram it. You could do one of those deals. But unless you have a bona fide, hardcore, all pro, consistent, and that is going to stay there for 10 years, and you could move pieces around him, but keep him as the constant. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's the same thing. So if you're a Patriot fan and you look around the NFL and you go, holy crap, Josh Allen's better than I thought. This kid, Tua, holy crap. Okay, Lamar's not going anywhere. Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're literally Deshaun Watson. You see him today. They're going to end up building around him. He's a badass quarterback.
Right, but
he's not going anywhere.
I think what people see, though, is, right, Bill will go out and beat a team like Baltimore, and people will go, well, it's in Bill we trust. If we still got Bill, and then, you know, depending on who the pieces they put around that quarterback is, right, you can make the argument that in the National Football League, that if you build the right team with Belichick and it's coached the way Bill Belichick coaches football teams, that team can win a championship. I don't know if you could say that about the Celtics, just based off of the way the NBA is.
But do you agree, though, that, okay, at least the way – I would still say that Bills never won a Super Bowl without a badass quarterback, without an all-pro quarterback. He's ever been.
I understand that
as
part
a general
of it.
Rule, as a general
right, but
rule.
I understand
don't you think
that,
they're the same?
But you think when he won his first Super Bowl, Brady wasn't that badass quarterback that we all think of him now.
Sure, he had an unbelievable fourth quarter when he brought
right,
you guys
no, no,
down
and
there,
I,
and you secured right. that right side on the field goal.
Right, no, I understand that part of it, but he was
able.
Yeah,
but he was an unknown still, kind of.
Right, right. So, you can't do that in the NBA. The last team to do that was what, the Detroit Pistons, and even them. When they won that championship with not a bona fide superstar, they still
Keith, what is the difference though? If you need players, if you need the to be a legitimate contender, you have to have a quarterback just like you have to have a top five player. Yeah. I don't see there being any difference. There's more people on a football team, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the top five player has more sway and is more likely to win multiple.
Have an effect on a game.
Because, you know, Dan Marino can get stuck with, you know, not great teammates, and then ultimately that's just what it is. Whereas
still,
in basketball, the Dan Marino equivalent would have won. But, yeah, I'm with you. That's why I was so adamant about getting a quarterback, and now I think that ship has sailed as far as top of the draft, or if you do it, you're going to need to trade a bunch of picks or whatever, because right now you're kind of – are you in it? I mean, I guess that's one of the questions we can ask. You're sitting there at 4-5 mm-hmm. with a very winnable game this afternoon, so we'll get into that. Also, looks like Stephon Gilmore could be making his return. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on Stephon Gilmore and what's been going on with him. And you can join us as well, 617-779-7937. If you want to talk about the Celtics, we can mix that in throughout the day because I know it's a huge story, but it's going to be a lot of focus on the Patriots and Texans today. This is NFL Sunday, and it's all brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Doers 12, aged in oak barrels for a minimum of 12 years with the finest blend of single malts and grain whiskeys. Give the gift this holiday season, years in the making. Doers 12 must be 21+. Please drink responsibly. Patriots play the Texans this afternoon as they look to get back to .500 on the season. Pats have activated running back Sony Michel off of IR. Team has also called up wide receiver Dante Moncrief from the practice squad. Glenn Ordway, Steve Yossi, Fred Smirlis have you covered with a real post-game show immediately following the game right here on WEEI. Saints quarterback Taysom Hill expected to get his first career start against the Falcons today. He replaces Drew Brees, who is
how about that one?
Yeah, over Jameis Winston, or is that, or do you think it's just a smokescreen?
I don't know. I mean, I did not see that coming. I thought for damn sure it was going to be Jameis Winston.
I thought so too. I don't really get this. I'm curious if he was just kind of bluffing everybody, but we'll see. They're saying Taysom Hill. According to Adam Himmelsbach of the Boston Globe, a sign and trade between the Hornets and Celtics center on Gordon Hayward is still being discussed. Hayward signed a 4-year, $120 million deal with the Hornets yesterday. The Celtics did pick up a couple of veterans, center Tristan Thompson to a 2-year deal, and point guard Jeff Teague on a 1-year deal. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Getting you geared up for Pats and Texans. Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith Fourier and Wiggy.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios. Best Yet. Shop your local grocer for the best quality and value.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEEI.
Broadcasting from our Best Yet studios, this is NFL Sunday, Week 11. Patriots taking on the Houston Texans at 1 o'clock. Pats are 4-5. Houston 2-7. It is Keith Fourier and Wiggy here with you on WEEI. And it looks like Stephon Gilmore will be back after missing 3 games with a knee injury. Although it has been a very odd season for Stephon Gilmore, who of course was the Defensive Player of the Year last season. Then had like a sneaky holdout, it kind of felt like, during camp, then came back. They reworked his contract a little bit. And then it felt like to me, guys, he was going to get traded at the deadline. And right before that, he gets a knee injury. He does not get traded. And I don't know, thought maybe that'd be a 1-week thing. And next thing you know, it's 3 weeks and he's back. What do you guys think is going on with Gilmore, and what is his relationship like with Belichick?
I'll go first.
Okay.
So, listen, I think that it is ultimately, I think the relationship is fine. But I do think there's something fishy. And maybe when we asked the same question to Teddy Bruschi on Wednesday, that's what he said. I was like, yeah, it just doesn't add up, you know? And I keep going back to, because if I think you could, some of the comments they make after the fact, some of the things Bill say after a fact, well, you ignore the tweets. I go back to those tweets, and when guys decide to send cryptic tweets, they do it for a purpose. You know, it's not like their personal Instagram page where only their family can see it. They know everybody's looking at it. They know everybody's monitoring it. So if I have an issue with, like, my kids that nobody knows about, and I decide to go, True Colors stepping out, like, why would I send that out there? That makes absolutely no sense.
Yep.
So I do think there's something to it. I do. But whatever it is, maybe it's something like the Gronk situation. Like, nobody complains openly. They passive-aggressively complain on that team because they don't want the backlash from Bill. They don't want to be looked at as one of those players, you know, the history of all these guys that didn't do anything stupid. They don't want to be that guy. So they send out some cryptic tweet. I think it's fine now.
Okay.
But, man, there was something there, though. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't get it. I've always said where there's smoke, somebody's got a blunt. And now when you look at this situation here, I don't get, like, the whole cryptic tweets. And we already know about the more money and then the Christian question. I believe it was you or Lou that asked, and it might have been you that asked Bill, is he holding out?
He's holding out.
Right, so there's been a lot going on with him this season. Then there's the house on the market right before the trade deadline. You know, as far as their relationship, do I think their relationship is fine? I think it's fine because, you know, they're both smart enough to know it's business. right? Mm-hmm. And not going to let that affect their relationship as far as what he does on the field. But there's definitely something going on.
Yeah, just weird. And he even spoke to it. Gilmore did recently. He was asked about the house, and he was saying, well, he actually just wanted to move into the city, and that's where he would prefer. Although, wouldn't you guys be shocked if he was on the team next year?
I would. I would be shocked if they didn't deal him, like, during the draft, right? I would be shocked that, you know, that would be a good time.
So you're going to buy a house in the city in the middle of a pandemic.
Prices are good, though, in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, with 1 year left in your contract, which is like, up in the air in the first place. Like, nobody's buying anything in this city right now.
I just wanted to, move to the city. So.
Move to the city.
Even that sounds shady right there.
Oh, my God, it does.
Yeah, you want to go to the heart of the issue? Like, you can't walk your dog after six.
So I almost feel...
City's on lockdown. You can't go.
I feel like that was one of the new rules.
No, that was actually one of the things you could leave the house to do after the curfew, Christian.
Oh,
really? As long as you and
if you're walking your dog at 11 p.m. in late November, you can go ahead and do that.
As long as you and the dog have a mask on.
I gotta get one of those little tiny dogs
right now.
So I gotta get one of those little tiny dogs you hold in a purse, so in case the cops do pull you over. Listen, dude, I got my dog.
No, I wouldn't live in the city with a dog. That's why if you're gonna have a dog, live in the country. You don't have to walk. You let out in the backyard.
There you go.
But here's what I would say. Right? I would look at it like this. I would be absolutely shocked if he did not get moved by the draft.
Right.
Just based on everything that we know in this situation, we all agree that he probably wants a new deal. He's not going to come back to play under that 1 year deal. And so it would be stupid for Bill not to move him, because you might be able to get a lot for him, especially around draft time, you know, depending on how the cornerback class is looking in this upcoming draft, what team might be looking for a guy and what they're willing to give up. So I would just be absolutely stunned if he's here next season.
Did he just expect, after the season that he had, which was a great season, did he just think he was going to get like a brand new huge deal? I mean, I guess he must have.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know. Most teams don't pay 30-year-old cornerbacks a ton of money.
Well, but when you see guys like, and I know, do you see a guy like Jalen Ramsey and these other guys getting a ton of money?
Yeah, they're young.
Right. Maybe you might not look at it and go, okay, I want that type of bread, but I want a new deal.
Yeah.
I do think, though, like, it's funny, you know, when you get to that, you still want one more bite of the apple.
Sure.
You just want that one more bite of the apple, like a fresh bite. You know, you don't want this extension bite. That's the same apple as last time. I want a new one. And I don't know what it is. And I used to always love my new contracts. I felt like I had a lot of them. I mean, Wig, you probably had more than I did because you were moving around so much. But, you know, even like the old deal, it just gets old. And you're like, I can't wait to – it's like a new adventure. You know, even though, like, you're still doing the same thing. But, like, the terms are different. You have a chance to kind of create yourself and your your perception and people's perception of you based on the new deal. There is an ego effect to this, most definitely, I think, when it comes to, I'm the MVP. I should be locked down, and I should have some hardcore, you know, commitment. Like, not like a one, you can't do, you can't, I can't be a dead man walking. I can't do that. I'm the MVP.
Right.
Like, so I think you start looking at the other contracts, and you don't look at the age, because age is nothing but a number if you're the MVP. You just go look at the production. So to me, that was always kind of fun to kind of watch guys kind of navigate that and like negotiate with their heart instead of their head. I like the guys who are just cold-blooded killers.
That's what you got to be.
That's who he is.
Right, and that's what you got to be. Mayans were always minimum with no money up front. So so my contracts were never great, but that's what you want. I mean, if you're
pay to play.
But pay to play every game, right? You know, you're hoping that you can get every game check. But the thing that he has to look at, and I can understand why he's doing it, is going, okay, you know what? I probably have one more, like Christian said, you know, bite at the apple, kick at the can, whatever you want to do it. Let me get that new money. And, you know, and then when I get through, like, let's say it's a 3-year deal or something like that, now I'm 33 years old, then who knows? If I want to continue to play, maybe I move to safety and I get another bite at the apple. But when you're that type of player and you're Stephon Gilmore, you're a player who just came off like a great season or who's doing, you got to go after your money, because they ain't going to give it to you. And you got to do whatever you got to do to get that money. If that means holding out, you got to do that.
And now, also, let me just, sorry, Keith, because the other thing I would like to add, Okay, if you're on another team, maybe you could be a little bit more playful. But for this team, you don't play chicken with them. Like, you have to identify your mentality from the get-go. I'm not being some chump. Like, you need to be a jerk. You need to be aggressive. You need to be combative. Like, you know, I hate to go, you know, you're not going to get anything done by being passive and sitting around. Like, that's what they want you to do.
Right.
So, and a lot of, most guys can't stomach it. They just can't stomach the criticism. They can't stomach the awkwardness that exists in meetings. So, you know what? They give in. But the guys who really fight it, like, and commit to the end, which usually means that they get traded, like, those are the guys that make their money.
I guess we'll never know the actual answer to this, but I thought the knee injury came at such an odd time, and so maybe he did get hurt, but it was, like, right before the trade deadline. And then I also wonder, was it really a three-game injury, or if he was happy with his contract, would he have played last week? And I guess we won't really ever know that, but don't you think it's fair to speculate?
I don't know. That's a hard one, you know, because he still, if he's still unhappy with his contract and he wants a new one, isn't he still putting himself in harm's way if he goes out there and plays? So,
well, he is, but I'm saying if you're happy with your contract, if you're happy with your team, and you're 80%, but you think you can help the team, don't you go out and play? Whereas if you don't, if you're not happy with your contract, maybe you're not happy with the team, and you're like, well, I'm competing for one more big contract, I'll wait until I'm 100%. Because as you guys know, you're not always 100% when you play. And
right.
So maybe he was like, I'll just wait till then.
Yeah, I always feel like when there's a guy in his contract, he's always looking at for his best interest, right? Yeah. Unless the team is so good, but even then, if they are that good, he goes, all right, maybe I could take a couple weeks off. I think it's more about the player and the player going, okay, I got to do whatever I got to do to make sure that at the end of the season I'm healthy, and so I can now get that new contract. So I don't think guys are throwing themselves in or rushing anything back, or, you know, until they feel like, you know what, I'm willing to put myself in a position where I know I'm running a risk. Or some guys will go, just, you know what, the season's not worth it. I'm just going to wait till it's over.
Yeah, but the only way a guy can kind of get back at another guy, as far as like, is the only way a player can get back at management is by using an injury. Not ready, but we need you.
Right.
Hell, hey, I'm Bill. Listen, I would have put you on IR. If I would have thought, listen, you're making my life difficult, I'm going to make your life difficult. And you can't prove it. You want to question his toughness? There's no signs that he's a wimp. So did you start openly, you know, questioning his toughness? He's always fought for us. Why is it this time? Well, suddenly he can't come back. Sorry, my knee is my knee. I don't feel comfortable with it. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel stable, guys. Yeah, but we just took x-rays. The doctor was here. No, I'm not ready. So then that's really the only way you can get back at them. There's no other way to do it, just to kind of put them in a really difficult, precarious position where they got to play guys who aren't ready, who aren't as good as you, that gives them a greater chance of losing.
And I think they know that, too. And I think the teams know that the player's like, all right, this guy could be playing, but he's probably just, you know, stringing us on here because he wants his new deal.
You can join us at 617-779-7937. We are here until 1 o'clock this morning. Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston will join us at 10. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Getting you geared up for Pats and Texans. Back to more NFL Sunday with Keith, Fourier, and Wiggy.
Presented by Kaplansky Insurance, Northeast Electrical, and Zudy.
On the home for Patriots fans, WEI.
Back here on NFL Sunday, WEI, Keith, Fourier, and Wiggy. Patriots taking on the Houston Texans today at 1 o'clock. We will talk with Tom E. Kern coming up at 10. But guys, Romeo Crennel, the interim head coach of the Houston Texans, 73 years old, the oldest head coach in league history. You guys both had a chance to play with him, although he was on the other side of the ball. But I'll start with you, Wiggy. You got any Romeo Crennel stories of your time here in New England when he was here?
Nothing real crazy. I mean, just the fact that I thought he was a great coach, a great guy. I mean, obviously he was a defensive guy, so I really didn't have much interaction with him on a daily basis. But the time that I did have interaction with him, knows his stuff. I think one of the things that I would say with Rack, every player that I know or that, you know, just was there when he was there, always loved him. Thought he was a great coach, loved playing for him. And I kind of felt that same way. Like I said, even though I wasn't on defense, he had this good energy about him as far as being a coach that was relatable. You know what I mean?
No, I always thought he was just – ultimately, he was just – when he would talk about Rack, it's like he's the nicest guy.
Right.
Yeah. He's just nice. He's like – he's just, you know, he's never, even when he's pissed, you're like, he's not really pissed, is he? You know, he's just, so it was one of those things, it was great as an offense coordinator because you could have a good relationship with him because he wasn't coaching you. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't responsible for you. So the conversations I thought were always better with defensive coaches because they're not coaching you. So they're a little bit more open, they're less guarded, and you can talk to them. I know you don't like Matt Patricia, but that was the same way with Matt Patricia. You know, really just fun. When he was on the defense side, he was holding up the cards. You know, he's not coaching anybody, so you're feeling, you know, I don't know. I thought he was great.
Would you guys have some D coordinators? Like, I know there's not a lot of first team versus first team, especially during the season, but like in preseason, would there be the D coordinators that would like get all fired up if the defense made a play and like get in your face or anything? I feel like Greg Williams would probably do that.
I had Greg.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
There was nothing. I will tell you this. I'll let you finish. There was nothing better than beating up on his defense. Nothing better than embarrassing them.
Yeah, I didn't really have, like, you know, most of the time, there were some, like, D coordinators, but there was always those times in practices when you were going against the number one defense. And, you know, you wanted to kind of like, you know, if you could make some plays, you talk a little trash. And there were some of the D coordinators that got a little hyped.
I feel like Romeo wouldn't. I feel like Romeo would just, he's coaching his defense and he's not going to.
No, Romeo wasn't. You know who was, you know, who was kind of like a little bit of a trash talker that was Mike Tomlin. When Mike Tomlin was in Minnesota with me as a D coordinator. Yep. Because he kind of had like that, he was younger, so he had that little bit of swag. So, you know, if the defense made some plays, he'd make sure that, you know, he'd talk a little trash. So, but I never had issues with that, because I was a big trash talker myself. So, but Romeo was like, I think Christian hit the nail right on the head. He was the nicest guy. I mean, it was always like, you never thought this guy ever got mad. Even when he looked like he was mad, you're like, oh, no, he's not mad.
Now, he's another one of the examples where there are so many guys in the league that are really, really good coordinators, and it doesn't mean it's going to translate over to being a head coach. Now, he didn't always have the talent, so it's certainly not all his fault. But, you know, 4 years in Cleveland, he did have one winning record. Then he was there for a season plus with the Chiefs, and now he's sort of taken over here with the Texans. But the other thing of note is, why do you guys think it is that coaches that used to coach for Belichick have had success against him? Like, we saw, you know, Matt Patricia has beaten him. We've seen, you know, Eric Mangini, Josh McDaniels, when he went to Denver, beat him. Again, I think Bill still has a winning record, but the percentages aren't as good as let's say, other guys that he never coached with.
Well, I can say, I'll equate it to this, like, you know, it could be a little brother, big brother situation. Big brother's beating you up all the time, playing basketball. Like, for my dad, it was always like he was always beating me in basketball one-on-one, or even if it was just horse. Mm-hmm. Or my brothers, it was the same way. And I remember, like, man, when I finally got older and big enough, and I say I had my own team, the first thing I wanted to do was beat them.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost as, I don't know what it is, someone needs to lay all these ex-coaches on a couch, kind of like I did last week with Wiggy. I'm still suffering from that.
Was.
So he's still thinking about that. But I do, one, you understand their system. You know how important it is. And I think they work extra hard because it's almost like they want approval.
I feel
like, and the only one who doesn't is Vrabel. He'll embarrass Bill if he has a chance. The other guys will not. He'll embarrass him. He'll make him look silly. The other guys, there's like a line that none of them want to cross, really. Thus, they'll be kicked out of the family forever, like, Mangini.
Yeah.
And I also think, Rich, another thing is like, you know, you heard that saying before, like, you really don't want to know exactly how the sausage is made, right?
Yeah.
Where I think especially a lot of his former coaches, they know exactly how the sausage is made when it comes to what he likes to do, what he's thinking about, what he wants to do. So now when they coach against him, they know him inside and out because they've been in those meetings with him. And I think maybe that plays into their strength a little bit. And that's why you've seen teams having success against them, is that he's given them so much knowledge that it's hard for him to come up with new stuff because he don't have any new stuff because he's given all his knowledge away to his pupils. Right. And, you know, that's why I think they're able to do a good job against them when they have an opportunity to play against them.
All right, we'll talk with Tom E. Kern from NBC Sports Boston about this Patriots-Texans matchup coming up. You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com. By Zuti, build any app your company needs fast. Visit Zuti.com for details. By Northeast Electrical and by the New England Recovery Center of Westboro.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.